Dave Sutherland, who is preaching as sole nominee.
At the end of the service, I would ask you to remain seated and we will conduct the vote as quickly as possible. And I've also been asked to say that there is tea and coffee available through in the large hall at the end of the service, so it's hoped that you'll join us there for fellowship. Thank you.
Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning. And we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Our call to worship is from Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength and seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. Amen. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. The first hymn, hymn 189, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord. Hey! Oh, there we go. My name's Dave, and that's how I like you to call me. Many people call me other things, but Dave does just as good. So, if I ask you a question, here's a start for 10. If I ask you a question, the answer is normally, yes, Dave. Sometimes it's no, Dave. Okay? Have we got that? I love it. I'm going to introduce you to a wee friend of mine. So this is Wordsworth. As you can see, Wordsworth is a book, a Bible, but actually he tells a story just on his own, without words. It's marvellous. A book without words. I normally look at the pictures, but here's a book without words. And this is the story of God, the Bible. First of all, we have the black. And the black is about the sin in the world. The time when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and for that, we're all in disobedience to God. So the black. And then the red. Remember the red for the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, who lived and died, rose again, and went to be with the Father for each one of us. And in dying and shedding his blood for us, we're made white, pure, cleansed, cleaned, renewed. Okay, so that's what the white's for, that purity, that cleansing. And then there's the gold. So if you look at a lot of Bibles, it's got gold on the edge of the pages. So that gold colour. Well, that gold colour in the book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, speaks about a new heaven and earth, and the streets are lined with gold and wonderful, wonderful colours, but it's a sign of heaven, a sign of a special place. And so we remember this is what God has done for us. And the green is new life. The green is newness and growth. And through the Bible, we can all grow together and share together in God. But that's an easy way of just remembering that story, because there's, well, who knows how many books of the Bible there are? Well, there's a silence. There's loads. Who's going to name them without looking? There's lots of stuff in the Bible, but the easy thing to do is to remember that, just this outline of the colours. The wordless book gives us a story, and Wordsworth here, without saying a word, gives us a story of what God has done for us. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly and Holy Father, we thank you, for you are our God. And you know, we decided to come and worship today. For some of us, it was an easy decision, because we've been in that habit of coming to church to worship. Some of us, it was maybe a harder decision because of all the other pressures on our time. Maybe it was a really unusual decision. But whatever way it is, Lord, you've promised to meet us. And we trust that for each one of us, there may be something special to receive today. But Lord, we don't come just to get. We don't come just to get something for ourselves, but we come to worship you, to declare your greatness together, to join with millions on earth and in heaven who love you, and to join with the angels and the saints in saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory." And Father, we come in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, your Son. His life is the obedience we fail to give. His blood makes us clean from sin. His prayer will pick up our weak words and present them as they ought to be spoken before you. Jesus is our friend, helping us in our dilemmas, so patient with our shortcomings, so determined to make us the kind of people we were created to be. Father, he gives us your Spirit to help us understand what you want, to help us resist temptation, to help us to do what is right. And he is the Lord with authority over all things and all people. So Lord God, Heavenly Father, you know, tomorrow we have things to do, work to do, whether paid or unpaid, stuff to learn at school or in other places, things to say, to write, to carry out. and we need your help during this week. But right now, we have this special time with you. So grant us more, much more of your Spirit, Spirit of Father and Son, the Encourager, the one who is loved poured into our hearts. Glory be to the Father. And as we come before you, we confess our own faults, things we have done wrong, things that we have failed to do right, things of thought, of word, of deed, in doing or not doing. Confess too the shortcomings of our church, our faults, our fears, our failures in mission and service. We confess the sins of our nation, an economy which sets rich against poor and does not work for most people, politics which set left against right and leave those in the middle unsatisfied, a culture which exalts the selfie and the celebrity and loses touch with what is pure and lovely and of good report. We confess the sufferings of our world, the hurts of the abused, the homeless, the disabled, the neglected, the addicted, the lonely and the lost. We confess these things and more. And we confess the gospel of salvation, which alone can forgive and heal our deepest hearts. So, Father, as we make these confessions, release us by your Spirit in forgiveness. May God's Spirit heal us and bind up the wounds of the world. And hear us as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Let's praise him.
Thank you. Our reading is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 32. Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 32. I'm reading from the New International Translation. Hear the word of God. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Let's worship together. It's the third hymn on the sheet there, 153. Great is thy faithfulness. As we join together in prayer for others, I just want to explain a couple of things that I normally do. One of these things is to talk about, first of all, things of joy, things that we want to give thanks for, things that we see around us and feel. And so one of the things, just as we've sung, Great is Thy Faithfulness, what I want to do is to give thanks, and we can rejoice in God's faithfulness to us in the past, now, today, and into the future. So we can rejoice that He is ever faithful to us. We rejoice and give thanks for the fact that we can come together to worship. To worship together, to praise together, and to get to know Him together in His Spirit in this place. There are things of concern, things which our burdens to us, things that worry us. And everyone comes to a service with these things on their heart. Somewhere there is a something, a thing of concern. And it's a time to release that, whatever that is for you. But also, as we look at the news and we see things that are going on, one of the things that was the main headline yesterday is this great humanitarian crisis that's coming on in Africa, with an estimated 20 million that could die in the Yemen, Somalia, South Sudan and Nigeria. As time unfolds, we'll probably see there's things that we can physically do. But right now, at this moment, in this place, we can pray. And so we'll hold these things of concern and burden. And there'll be wee moments of silence in the prayer, a time where you can put in your own wee prayer, quietly. If you want to say it out loud, I'm quite happy. But most people just want to say these things quietly within. So there'll be just wee moments of silence through the prayer, but you can pray as well. So let's join our hearts and our minds together and pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, for you are a great God and your faithfulness is forever. And as we pray, we know that there are things in the world that are good. There are politicians who care and look forward. There are business people who look after their workers. There are caring folk who will go that second mile time and time again. And as we pray, Lord, we ask you to sustain them and guide them. Just in that moment of silence, we pray. And as we give thanks for those things, we also acknowledge that there are things in our world we wish were different. The wars and the wounding, the dishonesty and the disabling, the noise and the nastiness. And so, Father, we pray for those who are affected. There are things in the church that are good. There are ministers and elders who work hard and give leadership. There are members who care for one another. There is worship that uplifts and envisions. So we ask you to bless and encourage all your servants. But there are things in our churches we wish were different. The infighting and the inward looking, the carelessness and the complacency, the lack of imagination. So we ask your Spirit to change things for the better. There are things in our lives, our homes, our social and business circles, for which we bring our prayers. And Father, as we pray for each one here. Those who are on our left, those who are on our right, those who are seated before us, those who are seated behind us, those who are seated above us, and those who are seated beneath us. And we pray too for those who are at a different part of this building. Father, we pray too for those who are not here for whatever reason. And as we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would touch each one at the very point of their need. That you would heal, that you would encourage, that you would build up, that you would comfort, that you would give peace. So hear us. Heavenly Father. Answer us, Almighty God. Build us up in faith, in hope, and in love. And Lord of all the living, remember all whom we love, and remember and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Let's pray. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that there's times when we've been lost and you've found us, and it's been your amazing grace. So by your Spirit here this morning, lead us and guide us. We've heard your words. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. It was around 84. I was a young, very thin, with hair, police officer in Dundee. It was early shift. And one of the calls we got just after we all came on duty, there was a phone around. And there was a whole number of us told to report to the city centre. A woman the night before had gone missing. She'd been out, she'd been in the nightclubs, and she had failed to come home. This was just a few years after there'd been two murders in Dundee, one at the end of the 70s and one, I think it was 81, where both women ended up found dead in woods just outside Dundee, Templeton Woods. These have again just recently been opened in inquiry. But this woman, two or three years after that, had gone missing in the town. So there was a group of us had to go searching. We had to search the wastelands. There was demolition. We had to search car parks and back areas to try and find this woman. And when we didn't find her in the town, we had to go out then to Templeton Woods to start searching there. That was the place we didn't want to be, because if we found her out there, we knew there would be another murder. But after a couple of days, she was found. She was found in the city centre. She was found dead. It had been an accidental death. She'd fallen over a wall and had died. But you know, for her family, for her friends, for her loved ones, there was no rejoicing in that. That was only bad news for them. The only thing they would have got out of that was a bit of closure in that she had been lost and she was found, but no rejoicing. Just not a few years before I retired from the police, I was what was called a family liaison officer, and I worked with victims of people who had been murdered, or victims of sudden deaths, people who died suddenly or suspiciously, and I worked with the families. I was the liaison, and I was assigned to one, a family, a woman who had lost her son in 1998. The case had been reopened in about 2007, 2008. The case had been reopened. This guy had disappeared. He'd been seen one day and he was just gone the next. His mother, for 10 years, was convinced that he was still alive. Just after I retired, there was somebody convicted for his manslaughter, his culpable homicide. And about a year after that, his body was found, buried. For that woman, after all these years of hope, there was no rejoicing. There was no good news. It was just bad news. And if we look and see the news today and we see all the searching for Corey McKeague, I've been there before. I've seen these things before. They're now looking in a landfill area. It would appear that if they do find them, there's not going to be any good news. There'll be no rejoicing in the finding. It will be bad news. These are the things that happen. These are the things of this world. These are the things that we see around us. But when we start to look at what God says, we start to look at our scripture, the scripture that Andrew read this morning, searching for the lost, seeking the lost. There's a story of a lost sheep and a man who leaves everything, 99 sheep, a huge resource, to go and find the one. There's a woman who lost a coin in her house and searched and searched and cleaned. Isn't it funny? That's certainly the way my study gets cleaned, because I've lost something and I search for it. And it's also funny, it's there in the last place you look. Think about it. This woman looked for the lost coin. She searched for that lost coin, and she rejoiced as the man who found the sheep rejoiced when she found it. There was a man who had two sons, and the youngest demanded his inheritance, something he was entitled to later. Not now, but he demanded it now, and his father gave him. And he took that And I went out into the world and got lost. But you know, the Father, although he didn't leave to go and find, the Father kept watching, always looking. And from far away, he saw his boy returning and went running. It wasn't the thing for rich men, and this man would have been rich. It wasn't the thing for rich men to lift up and show their ankles. That wasn't the done thing. They didn't run. And this man ran to go to greet his son, rejoicing in the found. And we see people all around us who lose their way. We ourselves lose our way at times. That's what happens. Life gets around us and we lose our way. You know, I believe that the church has lost her way. The church has lost her way in this world. And it's one of the things that we do, the church does, it looks in the same places it's always looked to try and find revival, to try and find a new way forward, but we're looking in the old places. We're looking in the places that have worked before, but won't necessarily work now. And that's because society has changed all around the church. Secularization. Religion has been put aside. God is just some sort of add-on thing. He is not regarded the way we regard him. So the church has changed. The church, in many ways, has lost its way. For the last year, I've been involved in a thing called Path of Renewal. It's a process by the church to help try and find the church again. But it has a different focus. It has a different focus and it brings a different way. About making disciples, about engaging the community, and about being a Christian centre. One of the really startling things about this movement now, this, and it is referred to as a movement, not a project, is that there's a recognition within this that there are things about church that don't work. And this is a reality, and this is difficult for us maybe to get used to and be comfortable with, because it grates. But 6 months ago, John Chalmers, the principal clerk to the church, gave a talk, an after-dinner talk. I had asked him to do this. He had, when he finished being moderator, he had said that the church needs now to take the time to reimagine what membership to the church means. To think again about what membership to the church means. So, on that, I invited him to come and speak. And he said a number of things. One of the things that he said was one of the greatest sins of the church was to focus on membership, on card-carrying members, looking only at numbers. One of the things that he said is that the Sunday morning worship, whether it's 10, 11, 11:30, whatever time, it doesn't work. It doesn't bring people in. If it brought people in, we would see that. But all we're seeing nowadays is reducing membership. We're seeing the numbers slide away. And we're seeing churches close. We're seeing these things. I believe that we have to do something far more radical. I believe that we need to be out of our comfort zone. I said I joined the police It was 1980 I joined the police. One of my great fears at the time was I was going to have to go to court and give evidence. The fear for me was speaking in front of all these people. I was a shy and retiring wee boy at the time. And you know, stand up in front of all these people and saying something, being the focus of attention, made me really uncomfortable. And I don't think I ever got used to it. Don't think I was ever comfortable with it. I certainly wouldn't imagine myself doing this in 1980. Perhaps not even in 1990. But God deals with us and works us and takes us out of our comfort zone and gives us the gifts he wants to give us to enable us to do the things he wants us to do, because God is not finished with his church. I believe that. God is not finished with his church. He's not finished with his people. Otherwise, the story of redemption just wouldn't exist anymore. It wouldn't happen. But we do see people saved. We do see people coming to church. Maybe not the way we're doing it. And maybe that's where the rethink has to happen. Talked earlier about Path of Renewal. And the focus for me is very much about making disciples. That we follow God's ways. We follow Christ's ways. We take time to sit with Scripture. We take time to listen to what it is God wants us to do. That we engage with the community out there. We engage with different aspects of the community out there and connect with them. And we use our buildings as the Christian centre. The place where people will come to see what it means to be Christian. The place people will come to be fed, to be watered, to be clothed, to be cared for, to be visited, to be welcomed. That's all Matthew 25. I believe that these are the markers of what we should be doing. But sometimes that means we have to go out of our comfort zone and do something different. Church, as it is struggling. That's not a reason to give up. In fact, for me, that's a reason to say to God, what now? What do we do now? Where are we? What are we going to do now? And you know, we can rejoice. We will rejoice. As that man, that shepherd, carried the sheep home, rejoicing. As that woman found her coin and rejoiced. As that father saw his son from afar and ran to greet him and then set up a party, giving him back his inheritance, which he'd already had and spent. So God rejoices in each one of us. That's why he gave us Jesus Christ. And he calls us to follow him. And he calls us to be his church in this place. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us and your ways. We praise you for you are our God. And we know that as church, we're in that place. That place of decisions, that place of a way forward, that place of following you. So by your Spirit, lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we continue with our offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let these gifts go where we cannot go. Help those whom we cannot reach. Through them, let the unlearned be taught, the hungry fed, the sick healed, and the lost found. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, one of the things I should have said there earlier was, in as much as John Chalmers said that the Sunday morning thing isn't building, it's not to do away with it, but it's actually to build resources around it and in other ways and other places and other times. I just thought I'd better say that in case you thought I was saying that Sunday morning shouldn't be. Just thought I'd be clear. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Let's worship him. songs of praises. Songs of praises we will ever give to him. Go now to love and to serve the Lord your God, who loves you first. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, all whom you love, all whom you struggle to love, now until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.